Merry Christmas, y'all.
Merry Christmas.
I love it. I love it. Awesome. Hey, let's pray. Father, Lord, we thank you so much for Christmas. Father, the day that we recognized that you came to us. Lord, we didn't have to seek you out. You sought us out. And Father, you came so humbly, so graciously, so abundantly, wrapped in a baby. How amazing. What an incredible God you are. And so, Father, as we join together as a family, as believers, Father, we receive the greatest gift of all, salvation through Jesus Christ. And so, Lord, I pray that you would be here in our midst as we look at a few things from your word, as we sing songs from our heart, as we have fellowship rooted in love. May you be here in our presence. Father, occupy and inhabit the praises of your people. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Hey, y'all having a good Christmas?
Yeah?
Yeehaw! Listen, that's how I do it. Yeehaw! It takes me home. Takes me home. All right. Well, this evening, it's our candlelight service. And of course, you know, everything is about Jesus Christ and about the fact that he came as a baby. But it's really, it really goes beyond that. We're gonna explore that briefly. This will be a very brief service. We have some interesting things for you tonight. We have a video, Chris? Okay, well, check this video out. I thought it was really neat, so I want to share it with you. Yeah, Chris showed me that. I said, we've got to show that. That is the great news. Because here's the question. Here is the question. What is Christmas, really? And it was interesting. There's a quote from Dr. Seuss. Actually, it's the Grinch who said it. He said this. Maybe, the Grinch thought, Christmas doesn't come from a store. How deep? From a children's book, how deep? And of course, we know the story. The Grinch wanted to steal Christmas, wanted to take it, didn't want anyone to have joy. And he realized that Christmas isn't found in a store. And yet so much of today's society, that's exactly what Christmas has become. Christmas is found in the store. Christmas is found in tinsel. Christmas is found in the lights. Christmas is found under the tree. Christmas is found in the ornament. Christmas is found in some cookies. Christmas is found in everything except where it truly is. Jennifer posted this on Facebook, and I thought it was cute. While shopping, Riley said she was starving to death, and Tony added, I'm dying from soreness. See, the Grinch was right. Christmas doesn't come from a store. In fact, what's happened today is commercialism and Santa Claus has taken our eyes off of Jesus. Joy to the world, the Lord has come. So important. Now, there's another idea, and it is encompassed, I think, within a statement by Calvin Coolidge. Here's what he said. Christmas is not a time nor a season, but a state of mind. To cherish peace and goodwill, to be plenteous in mercy, is to have the real spirit of Christmas. And I thought, Calvin, your statement is not Coolidge. It's not. It's Christmas is not a state of mind. It's not. Christmas is the fact that Jesus Christ was born. If we could condense what Christmas is into a simple statement, the simplest statement we can, it can be condensed into three words. God with us. That's the heart of Christmas. But we tend to focus our attention on the infant Christ. When the greater truth of this holiday is that he is deity. More astonishing than the baby in the manger is the truth that this promised baby is omnipotent creator of heaven and earth. That's the meaning of Christmas. Not the presents, not the light, although, you know, they're cool. It's wonderful. You know, Jesus said, hey, it's better to give than to receive. And so I find that awesome. If those opportunities I can to bless someone, it's a wonderful wonderful thing. So great. So think about it. What gift would excite you this Christmas, huh? What would it take? Would it take a new car with a big old bow on it? I thought about that. You ever see, I don't watch much TV, but from time to time I take a glimpse, and they have that commercial where this guy, his wife buys him a car, and it's a Lexus with a bow on it. And his expression is like, a car. It's like, really? I'd be like, what are you, out of your mind? We can't afford it. We're going to go into bankruptcy. But no, he's just kind of like, honey. It's like, what kind of people are those? I've never met anyone who could just go, here's a car, here's a Lexus. I mean, okay, a Yugo, maybe. You know, and maybe you'll get the Yugo GT, right? You know what the difference between a Yugo and a Yugo GT? The GT comes with a CD that you put in and it goes vroom, vroom. I got the GT. Turn up the bass, really feel like it. Perhaps new clothes, right? Maybe a new set of clothes would make you feel really special and awesome. There's nothing like putting on a new pair of shoes, huh? You walk around, you just feel taller, you feel good, your feet are happy. Happy feet is happy life. Also, happy wife, happy life. But along with that, the feet and the wife, you know, to some people, both stink. No, I'm just, joke, people. I'm in trouble. Merry Christmas. You women are great. We don't deserve, us men, we don't deserve you. If anything stinks, it's this creature God created called man. But maybe a new job would make you happy, would be an awesome gift. Well, the truth of the matter is, all those things are empty. All of those things are empty. All of those things fall short. The Lexus breaks down. The clothing wear out. The new job isn't good enough eventually, or they lay you off. Those are all temporary. But here's the greatest gift of all. Please listen, we hear this all the time, but really take it, let it sink in. Think about this. Isaiah 9:6, you know it. You know it. You've heard it a billion times. But sometimes when we hear something over and over again, it loses its edge, it loses its cut. But think about this. For unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. And the government will be upon his shoulders. And his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Now, sometimes when we hear that, especially you get a Christmas card and it's like, for unto us a child is given unto us. It's kind of like that other statement, that other scripture that we're familiar with and we've heard a billion times. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, right? And sometimes when we hear, for unto us, or so God loved the world, we forget and we think, well, that's just a universal thing, right? We come here to church and it's all of us. He loves all of us. But please understand, you could take that us out and put me. Unto me a child is born. Unto me a son is given. And I will call his name Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. But the key is, you have to receive him. It's a gift. You see, if I bought you a car, don't hold your breath, but if I bought you a car, you have to receive it. You have to take the keys and use them. If you don't take the keys, the car sits in the driveway. You must receive it. It's a free gift. You don't have to work for it. It's a gift. It's given. The gift of God is Jesus Christ. Unto us, unto you, unto me. Individually, Ephesians 2:8 says this, for it is by grace that you have been saved. Through faith, this is not from yourselves, it is a gift of God. A gift. What an awesome gift. listen, if there's any other gift that you would prefer, then you're missing it. If you feel like, oh man, this Christmas, all I wanted was G.I. Joe with a kung fu grip, and I didn't get it. I didn't get my G.I. Joe. What a horrible Christmas. No, then you missed it. You missed it. Or if you say, you know, I got everything I wanted for Christmas. Everything. There's the new clothes, the car, the G.I. Joe. I got it all. What a great Christmas. Then you're missing it. All we need is Jesus Christ. But here's some gifts. Here's some gifts that we can apply, that you can take home with you. Amen. I bet Jesus sounded just like that too. Can you imagine the Savior of the world crying out and making goo goo gaga sounds? The most profound goo goo gaga you ever heard. His drool would heal people. No, I'm just teasing. I'm sorry, I lose track. Anyways, here's some gifts that you can give. To your friend, give them loyalty. To your enemies, give them forgiveness. To your boss, give him service. To a child, give a good example. To your parents, give gratitude and honor. To your mate, love and faithfulness. To all men and women, give charity. To Jesus, give your heart. Because that's all he wants. Jesus has a Christmas list. And it has one thing on that list. It says, your heart. And by after all, isn't Christmas his birthday? It's his birthday. And I'm like, what am I going to get for Jesus' birthday? If you came over to my house on my birthday looking to see what you were going to get, you'd be out of luck. Why is it on Jesus' birthday we want the gifts? Listen, all that list, what you can give to your friends, to your enemies, to your boss, to a child, to your parents, all of that can only be achieved once you've given your heart to Jesus and he fills you and enables you to do that rightly. And what an awesome thing. You receive Christ so that you can be a gift of Christ to others. Why was he born? Why was Jesus born? I love this. Here's a cool quote. A scientist said, while making a plea for an exchange of scholarships between nations, said this: the very best way to send an idea is to wrap it up in a person. I was like, yeah. See, that's what happened at Christmas time. The idea of divine love was wrapped up in a person, wrapped up in a baby who was wrapped up in swaddling clothes and gave goo goo gagas until he was able to speak. And then when he spoke, he said the most profound, loving things that have ever been recorded and has changed all of history. And it started with a baby. And we looked at that on Sunday. See, God wants to give you a gift. He said, look, the greatest thing I can give you is a way for you and I to have fellowship, and that is my son, Jesus Christ. See, God wants to grant you the light of Christmas. And the light of Christmas is faith. God wants to grant you the warmth of Christmas. And the warmth of Christmas is love. God wants to grant you the radiance of Christmas, which is purity. God wants to grant you the righteousness of Christmas, which is his justice. God wants to grant you the belief in Christmas, which is truth. And all of Christmas is Jesus. That's all of Christmas. It's Christ. That's why it's Christmas. And Christmas is for Christians. Both have Christ in it. See, Christmas is to be all about Jesus. Your Christian walk is to be all about Jesus. Plain and simple. It's not that complicated. And so as we gather here today to remember that Jesus Christ, the Creator, omnipotent, omnipresent, full of love, mercy, compassion, Creator of all things, decided that he could only convey the idea of his love by giving you a person. And that person was Jesus. But the question is, have you received that gift? Because if you haven't, you are missing out. I don't care what's under the tree. I don't care what's in the driveway. I don't care what's hanging on the hanger in your closet. You are missing out on the only thing, the one thing that truly fulfills and brings gifts to others and fills a heart, changes a life, brings that Prince of Peace. You don't have peace? You won't find it in Alexis every day. You won't find it. You only find it in Jesus. This is the message, 1 John chapter 1, verse 5. This is a message which we have heard from him and declare to you that God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. Tonight is candlelight service. We're going to shut off the lights and we're going to have our candles in front of us. Each one of us with our own little light. That's to express that you've received that light of Christ. You see, I have no light in myself. You have no light in yourself. Any light that we give off must come from Jesus, who is light. So for now, we muster what we can, and we long to express, I pray you do, I do, we long to express light to those who are in darkness. We all have family members, maybe some of them, y'all are here that really don't know Jesus. Without Jesus, you are walking in darkness. And so those of us who have Jesus in our heart, it's up to us to light the room that we walk into. And that's what the reminder of a candlelight service is. That when you're holding that little light in your hand, this is what you are to be in the world. As we shut off the light, the light that's going to be coming is going to be coming from your candles. My question to you is, when you leave here and you go into a dark world, brothers and sisters, there are people tonight, instead of rejoicing, instead of being filled with laughter, their hearts are broken. There's tears. Perhaps there's even presents that will never be unwrapped because the person they were meant for is no longer alive. And you know what I'm talking about. Some of those people may be in the darkest point of their life, and perhaps you know some. I know some here in our church that have lost loved ones in the last couple of weeks. The question is, as they're in the dark, can you bring some warmth? Can you be Christ? Can you bring that gift that you have received to them so that they can have hope, so they can call him the Prince of Peace? That is the beauty of Christmas. It's not a heart. It's not an attitude. It's not a thought. It's not an idea. It's not a feeling. It's Jesus Christ, that light. Revelation 21:23 says this. This is what we have to look forward to. The city had no need of the sun or the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God illuminated it. The Lamb is the light. Jesus is the light. If you have him in your heart, you need to be that light to those around you. Share the light of Christ, the love of Christ. Share it. Let's pray. It's a holy night tonight. We've had people give their heart to Jesus Christ for the first time. We recognize that Jesus was born, that Lamb of God, which is the light. And that Lamb of God, that pure illumination of love, wants to reside in our hearts. Colossians chapter 1 verse 12 says this, giving thanks to the Father who qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. Wow. Or how about 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 5? You are all sons of light, sons of the day. We are not of night nor of darkness. Now, we're going to share light right now in a moment. And I want to remind you that there's a danger, because that's fire, okay? Uga, fire, danger, hot fire. Okay, we've known that since the dawn of man. And to be careless with that fire can hurt somebody, could cause a mess. We shouldn't take that fire for granted. You know, I remember last year watching some people as we were worshiping, and their candle was tipping like this, and there was someone's hair right there in front of them, and and it's cool that we worship. That's awesome. But hairspray is very combustible. But there's a spiritual concept to this. You see, that dangerous fire, that light is in you. And when we are careless with the light that God has placed in our heart, other people can get hurt. When we take our eyes off of Jesus Christ, in my walk, I can cause other people danger. I can cause someone else to burn because I'm not taking care of the light that I have. So as we share fire with each other, that light, pay attention to it for the sake of the person in front of you around, but let it remind you that we are not to take that fire for granted, that fire of Christ in us for granted. We shouldn't take our eyes off the one who is the light. We should be aware. We should walk circumspectly, as the Bible tells us, so that we do not cause damage to others. So be careful. Be worshipful. Because that's also the purpose. Let it remind you of that light, and be very, very cautious that you leave here and you take that light and you share it with those around you. You know, there's a saying that a candle never loses anything by lighting another candle. And that's what we're going to do. So I'm going to pray, and as I pray, the ushers are going to come up and we are going to begin to share the candles with each other.